The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. During the Ed Morse Big Win Sales Event, save up to $17,000 on all remaining 2018s. Just ask for General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. He'll take up to $17,000 off your next Cadillac. Right now, lease CT6 sedans, just $399 a month. That's Cadillac Performance, only $399 a month. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com and get all the details. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right there on Causeway Boulevard, so easy to get to. They have Cadillac certified pre-owned, 6-year or 100,000-mile warranty, 172-point inspection and reconditioning process. So much offered with Cadillac certified pre-owned. Get to edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. They do such tremendous philanthropy at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We're going to hear from General Manager Terrell Hopkins here soon, and we'll also have information on how you can go see Lightning coach John Cooper out at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. How about that, Lightning fans? EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com is the website, and here's Ira.
The guy's just phenomenal. He's absolutely phenomenal.
Happy Wednesday, a Wednesday edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the great Sage, fresh from New Orleans, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. The Bucks are victorious, leading the NFC South. The Sage has plenty to talk about. Ira, how are you?
How did I not pick the Bucks to win that game? I should have followed Steve's lead over there. Now, I did say 27-23. I thought it was going to be close. What a victory. Woo! I'm still recovering from New Orleans. I'm up 3 pounds. I haven't checked. When I go to Publix later, I'm not going on that scale, DeKemper. I'm not doing it. Hey, between the gumbo shop, which DeKemper picked up the tab for me and my wife, let's get that out there right now, Dickie Brennan's, and then Commander's Palace before I got back on the plane. What a whirlwind week. You know, if Dr. Wink's listening, thanks for a wonderful weekend. I heard he was a wild man in the suite, and it was quite a suite. It fit 29 people.
The one that Dr. Wink rented out?
Yeah, he had about 14. I hear he was bothering the people in the next suite over. They were all Saints fans, telling him to pipe down, and they didn't realize he's a brilliant doctor. They thought he was some nut job with shorts on and sneakers.
14 out of 29. No wonder he had room to dance around like you were telling
he
us.
He had room to dance, Lee, and you and I were sitting next to each other. That's a pretty cramped press box, Lee.
Yeah, a little
pretty
bit.
Cramped. Especially what you spread out with that pretzel and the Coke spilled over on my But, boy, Buck fans, I hope they had as much fun as I think they did.
Well, I think they did, too, because at one point when the Bucks had a 24-point lead, the only thing I could hear in that dome, which is shocking because that place gets loud as heck, the only thing I heard in that dome were the shrieks of Bucks fans.
Beautiful.
That's the only thing I heard at one point. It's like in the late third quarter. I can't remember specifically, but that's all I heard. Like some Bucks fan was just, maybe it was Wink, and just losing his mind. Dude.
Steve, one thing I noticed is in the fourth quarter when the Saints were down, you know, they were down 48-24 at one point, and they were making their comeback because with Breeze, you're never out of a game. Lee, I looked out in the crowd. It looked like 30-35% of the people were gone.
Really?
Gone. And you know what? No lead safe against Drew Breeze. They should know better.
Did you not tell me, Sunday night, that you've seen a lot of Breeze, that he may, again, I'm going to quote you here. I think I have you right. He was the best warrior you've seen as far as he's always comes back. He's never out.
You got Brady. I mean, there's some other candidates. But, Steve, in terms of competitiveness, and you never feel safe, I think Breeze might be number one of the guys that I've seen. The guy's just phenomenal. He's absolutely phenomenal. And let's not forget, he did it against the Vikings in the playoffs without that crazy play.
They were going,
people are saying, what a comeback by the Saints by Breeze. And that's a heck of a Viking defense.
Mm-hmm.
On the road, and Minnesota should have won that game.
That made them look pedestrian.
Man, I'm telling you.
Ira, you know, hey, bottom line, all the all-time greats, they're all Warriors, fourth quarter, animals, and all of them.
Rodgers. Rodgers just proved it again.
Oh, yeah, look at Rodgers the other day coming back from the in-game injury. So, Sage, Buccaneer Nation is insane. I saw a lot of those pictures of the empty seats and fans walking out from the Superdome. 48 points, so we'll just call it 41, since one touchdown was by the defense. The Bucs offense... Ira, your wisdom, you were around the locker room, the executives doing your thing. What the hell happened out there, and what's next?
Well, I saw Mike Smith, You know, and he was, you know, a little diffident to me. He didn't know what the hell to say because he knows he stole one.
Yeah,
he stole
does.
One. Uh-huh. Because otherwise the story is his guy's given up 40-plus points. Now, granted, the Saints have a heck of an offense. He shrugged his shoulders. He goes, what can I say, Ira? I thought it was great that McCoy congratulated every offensive player because, you know.
He knew.
Yeah, you had our backs today. And, you know, Sunday against Philly, it could be the other way around. I mean, the Bucs might win the game 17-14. You never know. Euphoria. Absolute euphoria in the Buck locker room. Now, Steve, you edited my column on Monday. I know one quote jumped out at you, which was Cam Brate acknowledging, and I think he's speaking for a lot of Bucksley, basically, we were pissed off that we were 10-point underdogs. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve to be the biggest dog on the board. I mean, you had Cleveland playing the Steelers, and the Bucs are a bigger underdog than that. Granted, they won only five games. Like, worse than the Browns? Browns are still looking for a win. So I think Brate's not the only one that was hacked off going into that stadium with a lot to prove. And by the way, for all you Buck fans, when the schedule came out, never mind the Winston suspension, right back when the schedule came out in mid-April, hey, we're going to be 0-3, 0-3, it's a disaster. Mr. DeKemper, let it be noted.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand.
Has his left hand raised like he's going to swear an oath to tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
Or he's waving to a cheerleader.
And meanwhile, Steve and I were saying, resign to an 0-3 start. What's that about? You know, you're 0-3, you're toast. So now the pressure might be off a little bit. Lee, I'll throw this out at you. Is the pressure now off on the Bucks that they won one? Or are they going to rest on their laurels like they've done the last 2 years after winning the season opener? That's a big question.
Yeah, I hope they learned their lesson, like you said, the last couple of years. They shouldn't have their targets on their backs yet because one game you can call it a fluke. My quick observations. I saw Mike Smith as he was getting to the elevator. You know, they shared the elevator with media, and they had elevator problems. You beat the elevator problem, so you were down there way ahead of time. I got stuck. The coaches got stuck because the elevator was shut down.
I made a veteran move over there.
Made a veteran move. You took off with 2 minutes to go like they had free food downstairs. And so anyway.
I knew Fitzpatrick was going to run for 14 yards on third and 11 or 12 yards.
Yeah, on a read option, no less. Well, I saw Mike Smith coming down the hallway, and I can't remember what I said to him. Something like, hey, it's a win, Mike. And he shook his head left to right and had a big sigh, and he faked like he was wiping his brow. He knew. He knew he dodged.
Steve, that's the most points this franchise has ever scored in a road game. The most. They've been playing since 1976. The Saints are not a terrible defensive team. They're not an elite defensive team. They made the Saints' defense look terrible. You read the quotes from Sean Payton, Lattimore, Cam Jordan. They are disgusted. They are embarrassed. And I read the New Orleans paper on the flight home on Monday.
What is that?
Headline, defenseless. Absolutely defenseless. They are shocked. Of course, they use the word journeyman 7 times to describe Ryan Fitzpatrick. Steve, I'm going to say it up front. I don't know if I've ever seen a Buck quarterback play a better game than Ryan Fitzpatrick just turned in.
I'd put Jameis's 5 touchdowns to 5 guys in Philly a couple of years ago up there. Doug Martin ran for 200-something yards in that game.
I said a quarterback.
I know. Jameis sort of had that great compliment, whereas Fitzpatrick only had a decent running game the other day. But no, I mean, we're splitting hairs. It was unbelievable.
He missed one ball. Deep pass to Godwin when the defenders fell down. That was the only ball he missed.
He threw 12 balls to DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans, and they caught all of them for 300 yards. When does that ever happen? Unbelievable. So the deep ball's back, Ira. And what do you make of this? What should Bucks fans think? There's a lot of Fitz euphoria out there. I'm going to throw something by you now that published on Joe Bucks Fan on Tuesday afternoon. Dave Moore, a man who we will all agree, I think we'll all agree, is definitely a voice of reason.
And he bleeds Buck.
He bleeds Buccaneers. He's X's and O's, 16 years in the league. He's not a hyperbole guy.
Not a hyperbole guy at all.
All that kind of stuff. He's out there on the radio saying, well, of course you ride with Fitzpatrick if you're winning and he's playing well. This is about winning this game. This season is about winning. You know, this, you don't play games with that. And of course you continue with Fitzpatrick if he's playing well. And he went back to his days when Trent Dilfer, who people forget was a Pro Bowler for the Bucs and had a breakthrough year. And then
that might be more of a comment on the Pro Bowl over there, DeKemper.
Well, he did have that one excellent year.
All right.
Then the next year he was, they went 8-8. And in 99, Dilfer's in there. They're 7-3. They're starting fast. He gets hurt. Sean King comes in and they never go back to Dilfer, even though he's healthy. This is Dave Moore talking. He said, you just got to do it. He's not worried about Jameis' reaction or whatever.
And then they lose 11-6 in the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you make of Dave Moore saying that? And where should fans think of this whole Fitz thing?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves with the when's Winston coming back. If they're 3-0, I think it's a raging debate. And you know what? It may not even be much of a debate because there might be an insurrection in the locker room if you're taking out a guy that's 3-0. A silent insurrection. If they're 1-2 or even 2-1, I think they lean towards going back to Jameis Winston. I'm sorry. 3-0.
No need to apologize.
3-0, you got a heck of a debate on your hands, Lee. And you, who is firmly in the Jameis camp, no question about it, I think even you would acknowledge, boy, this is a tough one if they're 3-0.
Hey, you wait until he has his first lousy game, and then he put Jameis in. But I don't know about an insurrection. I don't know if you told me this or not, but someone, maybe it was Steve, a couple players had told them that they were dedicating these three games to Jameis.
You know, and Dotson was talking like that a little bit, yeah.
Quan did too.
And I always go back to what Cam Brate said this summer when they tried to get him to say, hey, you know, Jameis' job is in jeopardy. And he said, Jameis is a starting quarterback for a reason. I talked to a guy, Diesel. By the way, I know we'll get the festivities in New Orleans later. But on my way back last night, my flight back, I ran to a loyal reader, loyal listener of ours. His name's Diesel. Nickname may ring your bell on Twitter. Anyway, he said he met Donovan Smith not too long after he was drafted. And Donovan Smith told Diesel, he goes, my goal is to block for Jameis Winston the rest of my career.
Well, right now he's blocking for Peyton Barber. And speaking of the offensive line, Steve, and I mentioned it in my takeaways, I think it was my number one takeaway. Let's give it up for the offensive line. And I mentioned, if you go back and look at that first touchdown to DeSean Jackson, who was wide open, perfect pocket in front of Fitzpatrick. And that's not the only time that day there was a perfect pocket. When you complete long balls like he did all day long, six completions of 34 yards or more, you never see that in a Buck game. Never. That's like Daryl LaMonica with the 68 Raiders with Warren Wells and Biletnikoff running downfield. You got to have time to throw that. Those plays take time to develop. This is not a Drew Brees get the ball out in 2 seconds thing. And the offensive line did a good job. You look at the running game on paper, it didn't look that good. I thought it was effective. Barber, yeah. Especially early in the game, maybe in the second half, they slowed down a little bit. People love to pick on Donovan Smith. He does this wrong. He does that wrong. But you know what? Zero sacks, gentlemen. Zero sacks. So how bad can Donovan Smith have been on pass protection?
Thank you.
Dotson had his hands full with Cam Jordan, who's almost about as good as it gets as a defensive end.
13 sacks
and
last year.
Dot held his own. Yeah. Dot held his own. My man Beninock, who's now my man because he put me up $20 on his bits, so I'm a Caleb Beninock fan. Jensen set an early tone, and Marpet was tangling, and showing that we ain't going anywhere, gentlemen. The offensive line deserves a lot of credit, and they love to block for Peyton Barber. They love it because he hits that hole fast. Steve, they're going to play a better defense this week. No question about it. The strength of the Eagles is defense. Strength of the Saints, offense. Tougher task for the Buck offense. Ali Marpet told me in the locker room, 48 points should be our standard around here with the weapons we have.
Ah.
I almost pushed him over off his locker, into his locker and said, are you nuts? 48 points.
Need a cold shower there.
Steve, if they get 28 on Sunday against a very good Philly defense, Buck fans won't be complaining.
Well, Sage, let me say this.
There's a lot of meat there on the bone over there, Isbitz, and you weren't writing a thing down.
No, I got nothing to write. For some reason, and we don't have to explore it here, we'll probably get some answers this week at $1. Evan Smith played a third of the game at right guard. They were rotating. I don't know what is going on.
You're not getting the $20 back. Forget that.
I want my money back. No, you won that bet fair and square, and congratulations. Happy to pay, of course. The rest of the offense, though, Ira, of course, Dirk Koetter can downplay it all he wants, but we saw the change was made to Todd Monken. Play caller, and obviously Monken had the greatest debut of a play caller in Bucks history.
I even gave him credit on the Evans fumble return. Brilliant play call by Todd Monken.
So to stick with the offense, now what? Now what for Dirk Koetter as the play caller? You think this runs through the season? Was it a trial thing? Obviously Monken knows what he's doing. Where are we here? And is Koetter going to start focusing now heavy on the defense and have the have the nerve in him to say, Mike Smith, man, I'll be your friends with you, but we got to fix this
thing.
Well,
we'll know a lot more after Sunday in terms of the defense, because if you give up big numbers and big points to an Eagles team that doesn't have Carson Wentz and they're missing their best receiver, then that's significant. Breeze can put up 40 on a lot of teams. Let's be honest.
That's a good point.
They didn't have Mark Ingram, but he still had Kamara and Thomas. Lee, in terms of this play call thing, there's a couple of things at play here. Tell me if I'm wrong, but in one of Cutter's answers a week or two ago when he was asked about it, didn't he kind of say right off the bat, there's more than meets the eye here, there's a backstory in terms of who's going to call plays, and who knows what that is? Maybe there was a promise made to Munkin, or maybe he doesn't come back with the
Bucks. I heard that before.
Yeah, so that's number one.
It was a commitment Cutter made to him.
And I don't want to cause a frenzy here because I don't have any evidence for this, but I'll throw it out there.
Here comes the frenzy.
This is going to drive the Kemper up a wall right here, and I know what his reaction is going to be. I'm going to say it again. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. I said if Munkin's calling the plays, that means it might not have been Cutter's decision. You went crazy when I said that to Kemper.
Well, then
you
implies
said,
that
oh,
someone
is some... Jerry Jones and the Clays is a Jerry. All I'm saying is there might have been a suggestion. There might have been an urge. Give Munkin a chance. You know, who knows where it came from, but it came above Cutter's pay grade.
And
the reason I say that is if it's strictly Cutter's decision, I got a problem giving that up. I got a problem. I think he even alluded to it yesterday. It's one of the reasons he got the job. I think he said it yesterday on Monday in his press conference.
One thing he did say Friday night on Sirius XM, Ira, was that he was answering Alex Marvez's question about play calling, but Marvez didn't ask him about who's going to be the play caller. He actually went out of his way to say, hey, Dirk, you know, I know that you're not interested in that question, and he asked him something else, and Dirk went back to this whole play caller decision. And he said that there's more to it behind the backstory to this, but I'm not going to go there.
Well, nobody's confusing Marvez with Carl Bernstein over here. Take it easy. There's a reason he's got that gig, and one of them is, you know, don't put the coach on the spot if you can help it. By the way, I draft a resolution, gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
A resolution that we offer Cutter $50,000 for the rest of the season to give Joe Bucks fan the same information that he's given Sirius XM and not given the local reporters during the week.
So you believe in checkbook journalism?
I believe the reason that you're listening so closely to Cutter on Friday night is you're gleaning new information every damn week from Cutter.
It's irresponsible not to monitor him. Why would you not?
I mean,
I can remember in college at my college newspaper, East Illinois athletic director was making an appearance during a Cardinals radio broadcast, and I was told, monitor this.
And apparently he didn't have any problem giving Chris Myers a definitive answer Saturday night when they met for their little session.
First of all,
at Brennan's?
No. It was probably at the team hotel.
Motion denied on the 50
motion
grand.
Motion denied.
On the 50 grand. You said you raised the motion.
Yeah.
I want to make sure
motion
that's clear.
Motion denied.
Hey, Ira, this isn't the newspaper. If Freddie Martino's on Sirius on Thursday night, we're going to listen because anything else like Lee said
what
is
what you guys do.
No, it's irresponsible.
Yeah, that's the word I used, irresponsible.
Just because the Tampa Bay Times says, oh, the coach is talking here and it's nearby, that's our priority. If he's talking to the Rich Eisen show, we don't go there, that's stupid. Come on, we're not like that. All right, Sage, a couple of things. First, of course, it was great to hear those ads to open up the great offers at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. 70-plus years, Ed Morris quality service across the state of Florida. So, Ed Morris, of course, Ira, proud supporters of all of your work. We're looking forward to hearing from General Manager Terrell Hopkins soon here on the podcast. And I'm going to have you out to Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Ira, John Cooper's going to be out there, and he's coming on the podcast.
I saw Cooper today when I did the identity with Derek Brooks. Cooper was walking by. Gave me a handshake.
Nice, your new Tampa 2 show. Well, he'll be on the podcast. He might not even know it yet. But that's all set up, so that's pretty cool later this month. And, of course, our good friends, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Head to the websites, edmorriscadillactampa.com and edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. Now, fanretreat.com, Ira, the Bourbon Street takeover is over, but everybody and their brother can buy Bucks tickets for Sunday and for the Monday night game at fanretreat.com. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. You don't have a ton of fees at fanretreat.com.
Did you check out how ticket sales are going for Sunday's game, Steven?
I don't care. I'm Mike Lee. I don't care. I come on. I don't care. They'll tell us if it's sold out.
Him and Russo.
But you know what? it very well might sell out because there's already probably 20,000 Eagles fans that have tickets who bought them a long time ago, and there's a lot of excitement here. And if the weather's going to be good, why not?
How many Wentz jerseys are going to see Lee walking from the parking lot to the stadium?
Oh, quite a few. And Dan Lucas's sit down with Dirk Cutter, and Dan does a video. It's internet only video, weekly sit down with Cutter.
I thought they showed that on Channel 8. They
show excerpts, okay, but they don't show the whole thing.
All right.
Cutter is all but begging Bucks fans. He even said there's going to be a contingent of Eagles fans. They travel well because we need Bucks fans to come there and be loud when they have the ball. He was begging Bucks fans to come out. So please go to fanretreat.com and live up to Cutter's words. Heed his words.
There you go. Cutter likes those jerseys, home jerseys in the lower bowl. Fanretreat.com. You get your Lightning tickets. And your Rays tickets, they're going to win 90 games this year, Ira, maybe 92. Unbelievable. FanRetreat.com, and we'll talk a little bit about the Bourbon Street takeover later and all your guys' escapades.
Steve, the Bucks have to continue to do their part if they want to generate interest among the home crowd. It was a heck of a debut, but they got to follow it up and stay focused.
So I got to pin you down, Sage, on this Monken thing. I know Lee's got something for you as well. Look, is this his job going forward the rest of the season? Is Todd Monken the play caller? Is Dirk Cutter going to branch out and go from here?
Are you suggesting he replaces Monken in week two after that performance?
No, I'm suggesting that other coaches have pulled it back mid-season. Andy Reid,
well,
Mike McCarthy.
If they're 2-6, all bets are off, yeah. Lee, you know. But right now, Munkin's the most secure guy in that one buck place. How do you like that?
All right, Sage.
I'm with you. Like you're implying you stay with the hot hand with Fitzpatrick. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I see where you're coming from. The same should be said for Monken. If the offense is humming, Don't break what's not broken. Don't fix what's not broken. Excuse me. Mixed up my metaphors there. With Monken, I could have swore I heard Dirk Cutter. It was almost a throwaway line where he said he promised Monken to let him call plays in the preseason.
Yes.
And I got the impression that Monken was like, you know, Dirk, I've got other opportunities out there, and I'd like to stay in the NFL. And Steve heard Monken say why he wants to stay in
that,
the
NFL. That very well could have happened.
And to help him advance in the NFL, he probably needs that experience. Where college, I'm sure he had all kinds of college offers to be a head coach somewhere, because he's the limited head coaching experience he has in college, he excelled. And everywhere he's been as an assistant, they've won. So I'm sure he had college offers.
Cutter might have made a commitment to Monken a while back, Steve.
We're not going to know for a while anyway. I want to throw a very quick curveball at you, Sage, and Lee, don't want to spend a lot of time with it because it doesn't warrant a lot of time.
Uh-oh.
But quick curveball, and I'm going to double check right here as we speak because I don't want to speak incorrectly. What surprised me, and I want to know if you guys were surprised, after that ball game, nothing, not even a tweet, not even a big smiley face from Jameis Winston on Twitter. I was surprised that Jameis was completely silent on social media. What do you think, Sage?
I think Jameis is in the dark for 3 weeks, and rightfully so. But I genuinely believe, and Lee, I think you'd heartily agree, that Fitzpatrick's biggest cheerleader, even though he wasn't in the stadium, was Jameis Winston on Sunday watching that game. He was... I said he had a fist pump, all day long for Fitzpatrick. I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe Winston's a heck of a teammate.
Yeah, I believe. No, it doesn't really surprise me. He's laying low for a reason.
Why should he draw attention to himself?
I think the Bucks would actually be angered if he was out on Twitter while he's serving a three-game set.
My understanding is he can't even be in the stadium on Sunday. No, I don't think he can be in the stadium.
No NFL stadium.
Yeah, no, he can't do that. But I'm just saying, I was a little surprised that we didn't get a "That's my team, love Fitz."
Steve's coming. Just moderately.
What a performance,
Jameis! If you're listening to this podcast, which you might,
he's not.
I'm going to speak for Dick Kemper here, which is always a dangerous proposition. If you want to show up in the press box, if you want to, and I know that's might be bending the rules a little bit, DeKemper will let you get ahead of him at halftime for the Bananas Foster. That's on the record. I'm speaking for you right now, DeKemper.
And
you got a problem with that?
When have you ever seen me eat Bananas Foster?
Well, he can get ahead of Gary Shelton and DeKemper. Yeah. There you go.
I'm usually getting the grub at halftime. I'm not a Bananas Foster guy. You're not a Bananas Foster guy.
No, I'm not. And you know what? I'm just kidding because Jameis is not coming to the stadium.
Yeah, he's not allowed in.
But
didn't Aqib Talib try that or something?
Yeah, he got popped. Yeah. I may not be a Bananas Foster guy, but the bread pudding pancakes at Red Slipper, you got to do that.
Well, When you tell me you went to a place called Red Slipper, I'm not thinking about pancakes, the Kemper. I figure you're there for one reason and one reason only. You may continue, Steven.
All right. On that note, I'll roll it out to you this way, Sage. The Buccaneers defense, they did not have to deal with the Saints having a short field. They did not have to deal with the Bucs offense turning the ball over. They did not have to deal with a two-dimensional Saints offense. And they did not have to deal with time of possession issues because the Bucs won that. And still, they went out there and allowed 40 points, which is almost impossible. And I know everybody says Drew Brees, but Brees still averages 30 points a game, not 40. And this was a train wreck. What's going on at one Buc? What do you think? The Grimes, the cornerback situation. What should fans be thinking here?
Lee, I'm not going to excuse the performance, which even Mike Smith and Gerald McCoy said is substandard. I'm not going to excuse it. But I'm going to throw a couple of things in. One, you know, Nick Foles ain't Drew Brees. So if you give up 35 to the Eagles and they don't score some fluke touchdown off an interception return or a special teams touchdown, then I think we can talk with more authority about how far this defense has to go and how disappointing they've been through 2 weeks. Steve told you who you didn't have to deal with in New Orleans. What he didn't mention is Drew Brees is alive and well. Still haven't said that, Lee? 17 targets to Michael Thomas and he catches 16 balls. When you know he's the guy you got to stop downfield. Kamara, 3 touchdowns. Another 9 receptions. I think they threw it to him 12 balls. 2/3 of the balls were directed to 2 players, whereas the Bucs spread it out very nicely. So I can't excuse that. Now, no Brett Grimes. That's significant. Significant. This ain't Mitch Unrein we're talking about. This is Brent Grimes. The rookie cornerbacks were roughed up. They had their moment. You know, Hargraves wasn't playing badly until he got hurt.
You're right.
But, Lee, 2 takeaways, including 7 points off a takeaway. So you got to give them that. What I don't like is that if Fitzpatrick doesn't convert that 3rd and 11, I think we're going into overtime, and so do you. Because they showed nothing to show us that they were going to stop Drew Brees. We're going to know a lot more after Sunday. Of course, I don't think the Eagles have a scary offense, and the Saints are the Saints.
No, but then again, with Foles, how many points did they put up on the Patriots
Foles is a noted buck killer, too.
Nemesis. During that game, you were telling me in the second half, can these guys stop Thomas? It's no secret that they're going to. Can they stop him?
He's very good.
No question. But you know what? It reminded me, and there was another game you saw.
It absolutely reminded me about what you're going to say.
Julio Jones last year. And after the game, both Cutter and Mike Smith had said, well, we couldn't figure out a way to put Grimes on Julio Jones.
Now, this week, we couldn't say that, put Grimes on him. You know, it was different.
That's true. But still, you knew he was going to get the ball. And the only time he dropped the ball or didn't get a reception, he flat out dropped it. It had nothing to do with the defense. Steve, it's like, can you make an adjustment, please?
There was no mystery about the Saints' game plan, Steve. You know, get the ball to Thomas and Kamara. It's what they did all afternoon. You would think there would be an adjustment, Steve. You would think.
And you can't really fault the defensive line too much because they did get some pressure on Brees. They had more sacks than the Saints did, but one isn't really anything to brag about, Vinnie Curry. But the thing that disturbed me about how the Saints, specifically Thomas, had their way with the Bucs defense, here Jason Light went out and spent how many millions of dollars of Team Glazer loot on the defensive line, traded the 3rd-round pick, stocked up in the backfield with 3 draft picks, including 2 second-rounders, and they're just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah.
At some point, it's not the players.
And, Steve, to be fair, when we rip, Gerald McCoy on those rare occasions when he has a day when he doesn't make much of an impact, Jason Pierre-Paul did not show up on the stat sheet. He wasn't listed.
Yeah, Sage, in my podcast, I talked about it. I went, watched the game 3 times already. Pierre-Paul, he was awful.
Did he get banged up a little maybe early in the game?
Well, I don't know.
I believe he might have went in the tent.
Well, I'm going to follow that up with this, and you can chew on this. I can't confirm that. But after the game, I mentioned Greg Allman of The Athletic was sitting to my right. I said, Greg, Carl Nassib's getting a lot of snaps. Isn't that unusual for a guy who only been on the roster for 4 days? And he's like, yeah, you're right. And so I went to Nassib after the game, and I asked him, I said, you got a whole lot of snaps for just coming to the team. What was going on? Did someone get hurt? You know, I didn't say JPP. Did someone get hurt? Were you expecting to get this many snaps? And I said it to his face. He did a belly cheat on me. He gave me an answer like, well, my number was called, so I went in the game, and I just need to improve. And I said, how Belichick of you? And by the way, Gerald McCoy heard me say that. He busted out laughing. He goes, you got nothing. I said, yeah, you're right. I got nothing.
We'll get more from Mike Smith Wednesday afternoon on that, Steve.
Maybe. But I'm led to believe something happened with JPP because he was invisible, virtually, unless you saw him on the field, which we did. But no stats.
He's been such a leader, you know, and yeah. To see him have a game like that, it's perplexing.
And then on top of that, a guy that's only been on the roster 4 or 5 days, what do you get, like 37 snaps, something like that?
I do know that JPP played 75% of the snaps. McCoy was at 93%, so much for the rotation.
They're missing some guys.
Sure, absolutely. When the first time they gave JPP a rest, his first series was awful. Second series was Will Golston came in to replace him at right DE, and then Nassib played more later.
They were playing Golston at right DE?
He played at least one full series there, yeah. Wow. It didn't go too well. he's the same Will Golston that we used to know. Stop the run, can't rush the passer, but I don't know.
Steve whiffed on a sack.
Yeah, he had a shot there, didn't get it, which is probably why he is who he is.
Hey, I got a quick question.
wait a second,
go ahead.
Sage.
Go ahead.
The defense, though, I wanted to ask you, Noah Spence, the new guy, played four times as much as Noah Spence did. What the heck's going on here? You got a guy off the street, doesn't even know the defense, cut by the Browns. And he's playing more than Noah Spence?
I think it's become apparent. Buck fans should not count too much on a big year from Noah Spence. No. I mean, that's just the way it's looking. And it's looking a little bit like that with Ronald Jones, who we didn't mention when we talked about offense. Steve, Ronald Jones can't suit up for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the season opener?
Not yet, and I assure you nobody at $1 after that explosion gives a crap. They'll just, he'll try to develop in very limited practice time and somebody will get banged up. He'll get his shot this year. I just don't think it's going to
come. Hey, I got a question for both of you. And now, Steve, you watched the game three times.
Yes, Sage.
Dedication.
Was Catanzaro's missed field goal tipped? Was it or was it not tipped? Did you notice anything?
Hard to tell. That's all I can say.
Lee, you got to make that kick. He could have been a goat.
He makes
that
kick. Well, even Cutter said
that would have made it a three-score game.
That's the ball game right there. That's
the Cutter and Dan Lucas sit down. The video we have embedded on JoeBucksFan.com. Lucas asked him about the Saints making that comeback and the defense collapsing. And Cutter said, hey, we were one play away from sealing that game. Either we kick a field goal or we stop a two-point conversion. They had two of them. Or kick the field goal, game's over. We didn't either.
Now, two-point conversion, Steve, they're usually about a 50% rate. 50%, right about there. And they didn't stop either of them. And I don't have a lot of confidence they would have stopped the third one either.
Even if Ryan Smith's covering 50%?
Never mind. Oh, okay. Never mind that.
All right, Ira, look, we got a couple things to mention. First, your podcast all the way through Monday. And keep in mind, we got a later start on the podcasts. Up until Tuesday morning, 4 to 5 days of no podcasts, you were still up there. Top charts, Google Play.
Oh,
very
that's
impressive.
An old podcast, baby.
Very impressive.
Staying
very impressive.
Power, Lee, which I'm not known for.
So,
staying power.
Fine.
There's all kinds of ways
boy,
we can go
boy,
with that.
That slipped right under his bits.
Where's the Cialis over? Sponsor? We need a sponsor. Your podcast is found at iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Anybody can subscribe there, so we like that. Leave a review. And your new show. Give us a minute. Tampa 2 with Derek Brooks, joint venture, Joe Bucks fan, The Identity. First two shows went off. The second show last week was fantastic. I know you've already taped this week's episodes with Mr. Brooks. Can you give us one tiny little nugget as we wait to watch these at Joe Bucks fan?
It's a lot of fun, guys. It's a lot of fun. We do it at the arena. I'm wearing a sports coat. Brooks is not, which puts me one up on him.
But he had a tie.
He did have a beautiful Hall of Fame tie today.
Ooh.
And when he introduced me, he goes, I'm Derek Brooks, and I'm sitting here with the esteemed Ira Kaufman. And I didn't let it go any further. I stopped him right then and there. I go, Derek, I don't remember you calling me esteemed when I was covering you with the 2008 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What do you call
you? You had a couple of other adjectives for me. He was laughing. It's a lot of fun, Steve. Now, I want to send this out to Buck Nation and our readers and listeners. The questions were a little squirrely this week, coming off a fantastic victory. And I'm looking at the sheet because they type up the questions. First question I look at, Did Fitzpatrick win the job, and should they trade Winston for a first-round pick? That's the first one they want me to ask Derek Brooks. Second question, why do our corners play 10 yards off on third and five?
Well, that's
third
valid.
Question, is our defense that bad, or is the Saints' offense that good? What's going on here, people? Can't you cheer and celebrate a heck of a victory?
Valid questions, except for the Winston.
And talk about, you know, hey, I think right now, Steve, you guys tell me. I think the biggest story is the Buck weapons. The same darn weapons, at least in the passing game, that they had last year. DeSean Jackson was there. O.J. Howard was there. The same ones that we didn't notice too much last year. And I think this goes back to preseason. They are showing. They are showing. Jackson, Evans, Howard, Brate, Humphrey, and, of course, Godwin. They got all this firepower. And, Lee, now it's being utilized. I think that's the biggest story.
Godwin made two ridiculous catches. That back shoulder fade he got from Fitzpatrick where he pulled a Mike Evans, somehow got his feet. I had my binoculars on him when it happened live. I thought he stepped out of bounds.
They're giving this very talented group an opportunity to make plays, Steve, and most times they're going to make them. They're that good.
Here's what I want to ask Monken Thursday. Now, I talked to O.J. Howard after the game, and you know, I asked him, I said...
Don't ask Monken who's calling the plays against the Eagles.
No, but I asked O.J., I said... Tell me about Monken as a play caller. And he said he's an aggressive personality, he's aggressive in practice, and he's an aggressive play caller, and that shows, and it showed today. I thought it was interesting that he said that. So what we saw Sunday, is that just Munkin's personality? Wing the ball, which he has been on college programs where he's offensive coordinator, and he did just that. Or was it just the simple fact that guys were open?
Well, you could throw a third question in there. At this point, does Fitzpatrick throw a better deep ball than Jameis Winston? I think that's a fair question.
At this point, sure. But we have to see more. And I just like the aggression. I like the decision to just be real and say, okay, the strength of the offense is all these receivers. And they're all healthy. And my quarterback's as healthy as he's going to be at 35 years old on opening day.
And if he gets time to throw.
And we're playing on turf where we can have a track meet with our speed guys. And let's air it out, and let's play it. Let's see what happens. And it all worked.
And oh, by the way, we had the worst defense in the league last year.
Now, the Eagles have a formidable defense, Steve. It's formidable.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about the Eagles on Thursday. So we'll get all into the Eagles and all our stuff we get from One Buck. Very exciting times, Ira. But speaking of exciting times, I was not there. We had a sold-out house overflow at Abe's Place for opening day. Watch party and just a football frenzy over there. Sadly, a lot of people took off because no seats, nowhere to stand. You're not going to hang around. We get it. But, hey, that happens. Anyway, you guys, though, we're in New Orleans. Bourbon Street Takeover. Share some fun that the readers and listeners would be interested in.
Lee, I thought we had a very nice turnout. What I was upset about is, I didn't show up till 4:45, and apparently Archie Manning came down and talked to a lot of Buck fans. And they were probably saying, hey, Archie, we beat you for the first victory in franchise history. How do you like them apples, Archie? And he probably didn't want to be reminded. I thought it was a good turnout, a lot of enthusiasm in the crowd. I read my John Lynch speech. I gave a Dirk Cutter story about O.J. Howard. The beer was flowing. you know what? There was a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of optimism. And this is before the game, a day before the game. Sean was there from Fan Retreat. Smiling and shaking hands. One of the biggest questions, Lee, of the day, where's Izbits?
Yeah.
Where's Izbits?
That was the biggest question.
But we were defending him. So somebody's got to mind the store over there.
Well, yeah, I told
you
people
looked like
his
you
wife
were having a good time, Lee.
Yeah, I told people his wife wouldn't let him come to New Orleans. You know?
People were buying you drinks, Lee. You don't mind that.
No, I never don't mind that at all. Manning's, by the way, is a very nice place. I was surprised it was that nice. I liked the third floor where we were at.
Absolutely.
That was really nice. Bourbon Street. Friday night, I didn't go out Saturday night. I don't usually go out Saturday night. It's the night before a game because Sunday is just way too long, especially if you got a hangover. I don't want to deal with that. But anyway, a lot of Bucks fans on Bourbon Street. I actually found a bar. Didn't find it. I knew it was there. I went to a bar, and there were four or five Bucks fans meandering back and forth, and I talked to them. One guy recognized me. Bucks fans were in force on Bourbon Street. They were known, and just a little bit of flavor. There was some guy, he reminded me of Chris Russo. You know, Bourbon Street's crazy. After 10 o'clock or so, it's wild. And there was some guy, he was an evangelist of some sort. He was trying to change people's heathen ways on Bourbon Street. So the guy's up there at the microphone. He's got this giant 15-foot cross.
And everybody's drinking hurricanes while they're walking back.
Oh, yeah. And nonstop talking, like an auctioneer. Like Russo. When Russo's on a rant, Chris Russo of SiriusXM.
He doesn't breathe.
Exactly. I was waiting for this guy to take a breath. He didn't breathe. It just kept going on and on and on. I got a video of it. It's hilarious.
And let's not forget, Lee, that leading the charge, as he always does, and I saw him walking up and down Bourbon Street leading the way, was the commish. The commish was in rare form. You know, he's the leader of that group, Stick Carry Group. And for those of you that want to, you know, say that the Stick Carrier movement has died and it's petered out, if the Bucks keep this up, you watch. That legion is going to grow and grow.
Well, I saw enough people over the weekend that it's not dead.
And watch out, Eagle fans. You guys that show up, Eagle fans, that show up Sunday at Ray J, thinking you're going to be the majority of fans out there, look out. We're not going to pour beer on your head like they do at Veterans Stadium when Buck fans used to show up. But we'll tell you to pipe down because your team's down 20-7. Shut up.
And I do want to mention, Sage, Bucks Uncensored, the Commish's podcast. We're rolling your podcast here at a different day on Wednesday. Commish is popping on Wednesday as well. He told me he came home to a few hundred emails of Bucks takes, you know, the fans who want to be on the podcast. I'm sure it's going to be an absolutely wild Bucks Uncensored. You don't want to miss that.
Oh, yeah.
He's also Podbean, iTunes, all over the place, joebucksfan.com, Bucks Uncensored, Monday and Wednesday on Joe Bucks Fan.
And we'll talk more about the Eagles game on the next podcast.
Oh, we got plenty to talk about.
Sure. Can I mention to some of our loyal listeners and readers, you know, Lou, Newport Richie, Lou. Outlaw was there, of course.
Port Richie Lou.
Port Richie Lou. Well, I always say Newport. I'm sorry, yeah. Lou. I always got to apologize for that. Obviously, Dr. Wink, a famed sponsor of ours, and you know him quite well. Dr. Joe, he's from Port St. Louis. He's one of Dr. Wink's friends. Crazy dude, man. I want to drink some more shots, especially since he's buying. And just a good guy. Yeah, he bought you a bottle of wine, did he not?
He did. And you know what? I didn't mention this. One of the highlights of the weekend for me.
Yeah, we'll go out on your gift.
All right. The highlight of the weekend, you know, we got some great fans from Philly. Great fans. I wish I remembered the name, the husband and wife.
Mexico City, even.
They got me a 76er hat during the draft party. They knew I was a Sixer fan. A nice white Philly hat. By the way, I didn't want to tell them this in person, but I'll say it on the podcast. And I want to apologize up front. That's the hat that went head over tea kettle in Daytona Beach.
Oh.
That's the hat. A beautiful Sixer hat. They might send me another one. Who the hell knows? So they come in, and I see they're holding something behind their backs, and the guy brings it out, and he goes, Ira, we thought you might want to have this. And it's a Buck jersey, number 4, and it says Favre on the back. And they go, this is for what might have been, Sage, what might have been. It's a beautiful gesture. Beautiful. When am I going to wear it, though? In Publix? Where am I going
to
wear this?
Where's the Roy Cummings house?
Oh, on that note.
Yeah, you got to wear it. You got to wear it one day.
I'm going to wear it on Spectrum.
Wear it to $1 one day. It'll be hilarious. Come on.
Man.
Sage, I got to ask you. I just want a one-word answer. Did anything like this, any of this kind of fun ever happen when you worked at the Tribune?
Nobody knew me at the Tribune. We're out.